You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live,
Geek Nerd Tech, featuring a weekly roundup of tech news and gossip.
Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live,
Geek Nerd Tech. Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech, the show we break down nerd culture and tech news from a black and brown geek perspective. You're a customer by EPMD, as usual. I'm Joe Braswell, joined as always by Akili Shine.
What's good, brother?
How you doing?
Chilling, man.
Cool. And in the booth, we have Alexis. How you doing, Alexis? Oh, yeah?
Sorry. I'm good.
All right. lots to discuss this week. It's like iPhone week. Yeah. So a lot of iPhone discussions, but we'll get to that a little bit. I know we're both thinking about getting it after the show, right?
That's correct, man.
We might run over there and grab a couple iPhones. Yeah. Sixes.
Yeah.
What you gonna do, the Plus?
I gotta see it first.
Okay. We'll check that out.
For sure.
But in the meantime, I got some news. I did make a purchase myself this week. I'll talk about it a little later. I finally bit the bullet and did something I've been talking about doing for a long time. I'll tell you about that a little later.
Okay.
But first, let's talk about some tech news. Let's jump into this story about the Mercedes hybrid. Yeah. Have you seen this thing?
I have seen it.
So I think I saw it at the auto show
yep.
as well. And, oh, that's not right. That's the NASA picture.
I mean, Mercedes is going to space.
Okay. Mercedes is that's the Tesla. One more. There we go.
You guys.
Sorry. So Mercedes hybrid is new. It's the it's got some awesome features. It's the S550, right?
Yeah.
And it's a gigantic Mercedes, but it's also got all the bells and whistles that Mercedes the luxury Mercedes has. What this does, which is cool about this engine, is it's sort of like it in a way it does this thing where it's sort of detracts you from going faster because when you're going faster, it gives you sort of a warning and saying like, oh, you're using more electricity. Yeah. You have to switch to gas.
Yeah.
Like, go fast if you want to.
Right.
So it's kind of like, if you want, do you want to go fast or save gas? I mean, but what do you think of this?
I mean, it's type of technology kind of like, it's like a conversation with what's in the car with the driver. So like, if you're going fast and you don't need to, the car is going to adjust or signal to you like you just said, hey, you're going fast. And then you could choose whether or not to slow or continue pushing forward. I think that's pretty cool technology. But I mean, I'm not really sold on it. I don't think it's like to change the gamer. I don't think it is.
I mean, because we're talking about brand stuff. Obviously, the whole technology, the electric technology, and people, the way people are using, whether it's the plug-in technology, which this uses, or the fuel cell technology, or whatever it is, whatever hybrid technology you're using, is one thing, but each of your favorite brands has to figure out what they adapt to that. Like, you know, I'm obviously an Audi guy, and I don't know what their technology for their hybrid, what they will adopt. They don't really have one that's actually cracking production-wise yet.
For sure.
Mercedes has rolled this one out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess
I think that's
it's a brand loyalty thing.
That's exactly what it is. It's that adaptation policy. Like, they have to come into this space because, you know, technology is evolving across the board. So they already have dominance with the luxury vehicle. So they might as well, you know, enter into the space with the hybrid stuff. So I think it's a good move for the people that, you know, are brand loyalists for the Mercedes. I think people would definitely swoop it up and buy it.
Cool.
But yeah, man, it looks sweet though. It looks pretty fresh.
It's just Mercedes. All right, so moving on. Speaking of cars, I mean, I think we're going to the Tesla next. The Tesla, now people, you know, this is interesting because people are talking about ways to trick out and hybrid these electric cars. Now, Tesla is a very, very well engineered, amazing car that everyone loves and has, especially in Los Angeles. But and then the Model S, which is the one we're looking at, is the fastest one. But some of these aftermarket place companies like Celine are trying to figure out how do you trick out your thing? Because that's one thing I don't like about the Teslas is everyone has the same car.
Yeah.
The color variations, but like a Tesla is a Tesla is a Tesla.
Yeah.
So everyone's kind of rolling the same car. What Celine's saying is I can do some aftermarket-ish to it, trick it out, and they've got one going really, really fast.
I mean, well, not exactly. So that's the thing with what they're tricking it out. They're helping it move. They're helping in terms of how it's designed, so that when you're on the road, you have more, you have better aerodynamics. But in terms of like the actual engine or the what propels the force, they're not tricking that out. It's the same as the base for the Tesla. So it's not like when you buy a Tesla and you buy something from Celine or the 416 from Celine, it's not going to be faster. Like. Engine-wise, right. And that's the difference. They're right. Just making it look dope based on the design, the framing.
Okay, I thought there was one. I misread that. I thought there was something that said that they actually got to go fast, but that makes sense because you don't want to mess with Tesla's proprietary technology. Not like they're going to go in there and tinker. You know, it's like you can't be, you know, tinker with the engine like you could on some of these other cars. But it's cool. But I want something. If they can figure out a way to make these things look a little more dope.
I mean, I think that's the thing. In terms of the design, they are going to make it look dope. Like from the pictures I've seen of the 416, it looks awesome. It looks super fresh.
Cool.
And what, you know, Celine's been able to do with like Mustangs and Chargers. That's pretty cool for them to do it with this, especially being that it's a hometown company too from Corona.
Yeah.
Like, they're dope.
I'm all about it. All right, so moving on. NASA, it looks like Boeing has won this one ability to build these new. Boeing has this thing called the SpaceX, and NASA has basically went to a contract with Boeing to make these things called the SpaceX, which is essentially like a space shuttle to transport astronauts up to the space shuttle station.
Somewhat.
A shuttle, I'm going to say it's a shuttle.
SpaceX is its own company. Boeing is its own company. And so they both have a contract with NASA. SpaceX. Yeah, they both have a contract with NASA. Boeing they just signed a $4.2 billion contract with NASA, and SpaceX signed a $2.6 billion contract. And
I'm well informed.
And essentially, their assignment is to create a capsule spacecraft design which will transport astronauts from Earth to the space station.
And it's called the Dragon. I'm not going to miss it. So SpaceX is the company, the Dragon is the vehicle. Got it. I'm on top of it now.
And so, I mean, more people in space, you know, gives leeway for more research to be done. And so that's kind of like the mode of operation behind it. I think it's a change of infrastructure in terms of NASA is like government controlled and owned for 60 years, and now that, you know, they're allowing, you know,
third party
aerodynamic companies to get into this space. And I think because we're still in a space race, China, Russia, like we want to be the first country to put man on Mars. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what NASA is really focusing on. And so this technology is for like the low Earth orbit type of stuff, while NASA is going to focus on the deep space stuff.
I like this. I mean, I like this movement. This is a big debate politically about what should be privatized and what should be government run programs should be privatized. Like, for instance, this, you know, giving private aerodynamics companies to do this sounds great. Getting private companies to run prisons does not sound great. So it doesn't, one size doesn't fit all, but because, you know, people like Neil deGrasse Tyson has been all over this. We've talked about this before, you know, but back the baby boomers, back in their generation, everyone wanted to go. The next generation of scientists and engineers and physicists were coming from people wanting to go to Mars, wanting to go to the moon, the space race. We don't have that. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to go play, you know, Nintendo or go play Xbox. So, you know, this will help. It's good to know that. And NASA is like, well, and super underfunded now. Yeah. Instead of making a political football as to how much money NASA can get, they can just third party outsource it. So I like that.
I think it's letting loose on the creativity of American people. There's tons of brilliant people that don't work for NASA that can use their expertise and knowledge base to help design or develop, you know, new technology that will bring man to Mars or bring more product to space.
Sure.
And I think that's what's really cool. I mean, I think within the next 20 years, we're going to see man on Mars.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see Tesla. Tesla will have a ride up there. We'll see. I mean, the way they're going, who knows? So as we talked about before, the iPhone 6 is out. And what also came out this week or earlier in the week was Apple's OS 8. Did you download it yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, I don't want to download it yet either until I get the phone, right? Because I hear it's kind of buggy on the 5. Is that right?
I mean, there's always bugs with the new operating system. But I mean, even if you buy the new 6, it's probably going to be bugs.
Right, yeah. That's true. So, but this is sort of a wire kind of came up with all these tips to sort of help you, you know, get your way around the OS 8.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool things that's happening. I mean, just look at the camera. You have this time lapse function with the video camera where you're able to actually do like a time lapse of a freeway traffic, or if you want to watch clouds, you know, move across the sky. Mm-hmm. Well, another part that's cool about the camera is that you can adjust the exposure before you take the photo. So like usually you would do it in post. Now you could do it like a regular DSLR camera. Like you adjust the settings and then take the photo. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Siri, there's a change with Siri. Instead of having to press the home button to activate Siri, all you have to do is call out Siri and she'll pop up.
Oh, wow.
And then you can add, so like if you're driving, you don't have to, it's like the hands-free thing. You don't have to touch the phone.
I like it.
That's pretty cool.
Except for when you're having a conversation like, yeah, I was talking to Siri the other day. Hello? Hello? Are you talking to me? Like, nah, Siri, I got no. Not they, you, now.
They have this battery management thing where you can look into your settings and see what app is pretty much sucking up the battery. And so then you can make, you close down apps and then save battery space that way. But it's a good way to manage, you know, your apps. Because usually a lot of people just keep their apps open and it drains the battery. But now you can see which one is taking the most away, and then you can make those adjustments.
Right.
There's more functionality with the messaging. It's called peek behind conversation, where you could look at our conversation on our iPhone and be like, hey, okay, I see all the photos that Akili has sent me, or I see all the attachments that Akili has sent me. And it's just better in terms of organizing your conversations with people.
Right.
Like if you're in a group chat, you can mute yourself out. So you don't have to have a flux of messages coming in. I think that's pretty awesome.
I like that.
And then lastly, when Yosemite drops next month in October, you'll have the continuity where what you see on your iPhone will also be on your iPad and on your desktop or your laptop. It's just continuity all the way through.
Which is there kind of it's super buggy now with the cloud, because you know sometimes you can sync things up and get all my text messages across all my devices. Right now, I can't do that. I don't know what I did. I had it, and now it doesn't work. So hopefully they can get that right. And they also have this thing where you can start working on your computer and pick up that work on your iPad, mm-hmm. and then pick up that work on your iPhone.
Continuity with everything.
Yeah. That's great. And maybe even the iWatch.
I think that's like my favorite thing about the new iPhone, or not the iPhone, but the new like operating system, is that I can do that. Because I always feel like if I'm working, or if I'm, you know, doing emails and stuff like that, just work in general, like PowerPoints and stuff, I feel like I wish there was like a USB port that I could just like plug into my iPad and then take it with me, instead of just emailing back and forth, and it's just kind of all over the place. When I heard about that, I thought that was really cool.
If it works, I mean, again, it's more sort of cloud based thing, and the cloud's been getting a lot of the Apple cloud server's been getting a lot of heat lately. So we'll see if they can get all these bugs worked out and make it work. What's that?
And two other quick features that I think are really dope. You have the QuickType, which I think we already covered on the show. If you're drafting up an email, you're sending a text message, it intuitively knows like if you're talking to your brother or your mom, or you're talking to a business partner or something, and it will pick phrases or phrasings that are more appropriate for who you're talking to. And so I think that's cool. And then lastly, you have the double tap. You know, when you double tap on the home screen, it brings up all the apps that you have open.
Right.
Now when you double tap, it brings up all your favorite contacts or your most recent contacts. So instead of having to go into the phone or contact to find someone, just double tap. Hey, I want to talk to Keely. Boom. Is right there.
Oh wow!
I think that's pretty fresh.
I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is fresh. Well, cool. So we'll see. We'll see all those features later today when we buy our iPhones.
Yeah,
we'll see. All right. So also the opposite of iPhone, a little bit opposite of the spectrum. Your favorite company, BlackBerry.
My favorite company.
Yeah, is back, and they've got this really cool.
Where are they back from?
I don't know. It's just amazing we're still doing BlackBerry stories, first of all. But BlackBerry has this new device which is by Porsche Design, and there's some people who really are love Porsche Design and their design aesthetic and what they do. I'm not a super fan of Porsche Design personally, but I know people are. So Porsche has teamed up with BlackBerry to make this really super cool phone. Maybe they're trying to go into that. What's that line? Virtue, the other like super high end phone. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do more of a prestige piece here.
That's exactly what it is. They're trying to go for the business market. They want to pretty much dominate the enterprise market. And so that's why the price point for this phone, I think, is 2 racks. Mm-hmm. This is the second iteration of it, though. This is not the first time they've collaborated this is not the first time they had this brand collaboration. So, not for me. I think the design looks cool. Like the buttons are made of glass. Like I love the gloss aspect of it. But in terms of like price point and just like what we have in terms of the marketplace. Like, why would anyone want this?
Well, I wouldn't pay $2,000 for anything exactly like that. It's what, and again, it's like that Virtue. I think it's called Virtue. That prestige brand, the concierge of phones. They've been around for them. Those phones go up. Some of those phones are like $10,000. You know, and so that's something that I don't know. But Blackberries, they're trying, man. They're trying. They're one last gasp at relevancy in a world of smartphones that they missed. Another thing is, speaking of we were talking about the cloud earlier and the problems with the cloud, you know, Apple has had all these sort of cloud issues. There's a company that's looking to do passwords that are based as biometric passwords that are based on your heartbeat, which I think is completely fascinating because we already have, as you know, we already have the fingerprint, which we don't like. But the heartbeat.
Touch ID?
Yeah, it was Touch ID, but the heartbeat ID, Keely. I got your heartbeat now, Keely. Where'd it go? Your heartbeat.
I mean, you kind of set the stage. Like, we're in a landscape where things get hacked. Like, aside from, like, the iCloud hacking, like, even, like, major corporations like Target or Home Depot or whatever, you know, your credit cards can get hacked. And so I think, you know, the technology for security is archaic in the sense that we're still using pins and passwords.
Yes.
And so, I mean, we have the technology where we can use organic material now to determine our password. And I think that the concept with this is that we each have, you know, an original fingerprint that extends beyond our fingerprint, like your heart or like there's certain emissions that your eardrums push out.
Right.
And like, so using the body as a way to determine if it's you for your technology, for your applications. If, I mean, we're moving into the Internet of Things where you walk into a home and devices will come on. How do they know it's you?
Exactly.
And so this is a way that devices can communicate and you can protect your intellectual, you know, content or whatever property through, you know, stuff that you were born with.
Yeah, exactly. and which is very much unique to us. I mean, you can't fake your unique heartbeat.
Right,
it's harder and harder to fake that. I love this. I mean, again, you know, I'm of two minds. I mean, I'm always, even though I'm a super geek and technology guy, I'm always super afraid of this, you know, doomsday technology stuff, which is, you know, the biometric Internet of Things, like, you know, born identity, what's it called? Minority Report, when you walk in, they're like, "Hello, Joe. Like, you want a cup of coffee? You look thirsty. You know, you just bought this yesterday. You want another one?" All that stuff. But this is cool because, you know, the security is more and more of a problem. Even the iCloud.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I'm more afraid of, them having my, you know, them have my fingerprint and all my biometric information, or just having my information just float all up in the cloud. I mean, you know, you know, we talk, people are really upset about, we'll talk about this in a second too, but people are really upset about this whole YouTube thing, and the people are saying like it's like more of a violation. These corporations have a violation, but I mean, we're already there. You know, we talk about the terms, what happens with terms of service. You know, I just signed a new terms of service with for iTunes now, and I clicked it. Who knows?
You know? Signed your life away.
I could have signed my life away. You don't have to tell them, buy this new iPhone at Verizon. We're going to click a term of service. Who knows what they can do. So I like the idea of having that personalized thing. That's something that I can control. I know that what's going on.
I mean, with this whole heart thing, it's just interesting. If it determines, you know, ownership based on your heartbeat, what happens if you have, you know, your heartbeat changes?
Yeah.
Like, then what happens? Are you locked out of all your things?
If you have just arrhythmia I have cardiomyopathy, my heartbeat's like fairly the same, but also it's been different over the last 20 years.
Yeah, like, you know, so, that's crazy. Yeah,
this ain't you, Joe. It's me. I'm trying to, like, let me get it. I used to have it. Like, let me get the beat right. No, so I don't know. But, yeah, that is something I will, I don't know. So this is what I don't know. I mean, this is what the biometric engineers in Toronto will be working on. So we'll see how that goes. You know, it's the same technology uses as electrocardiograms. And
for sure.
I'm sure the technology is there, so they'll figure it out.
And last point, this technology is already there in terms of like it's already corporatized. It's already in corporations in the sense when you go into a building, sometimes you have to do the retina scan.
Yeah.
We've seen that in movies, but that's real. I've seen that in real life.
Right.
Like, so, I mean, just to have it applied to, you know, the everyday person is what we're talking about.
Right.
But that technology is here.
Biometrics. Interesting. All right, well, let's transition out of that and let's get into some nerd stuff. Well, let's talk about this YouTube thing because first of all, we talked about the YouTube release. We talked about, you know, was it a good idea and how did it work and blah blah blah. And I liked it. You didn't like it. That's fine.
And a lot of other people didn't like it.
But I'm really really surprised at the incredible backlash. Is like, you know, people who are mad, like, I don't want this in my phone. People are really mad.
Of
like,
course. You know, it's a Apple, violation.
But like, delete it.
You couldn't delete it at first.
What do you mean?
At first you couldn't delete it, man.
I was too busy listening to it, brother.
they just like day, like maybe like 3 or 4 days after they dropped it, then they gave you the option to delete it. And the process to delete it was not an easy one click process.
Oh.
So,
Okay. Well, it's interesting how people are like really, their music are really like upset about it. You can do anything, folks, but you mess with their music. It's almost like, I hate YouTube. I don't want them in my phone. You know, so it's a real thing. But you know, on the flip side of this is YouTube has a major, major sales bump in their back catalog, mm-hmm. you know, because of this.
As expected.
And you know, this is good. Like, you have 500 million people, you know, lots of people either are rediscovering YouTube, never heard of YouTube. People are like, I hate YouTube. Wait a minute. I like YouTube. I'm sure there's as much. It's a really great, 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 great thing for you too, who doesn't really need much more publicity.
It's just a huge spam campaign, in my opinion.
Oh,
it's spam.
That's one way of looking at it.
It's spam. And another thing, like, which I, when I read this story, I did a little research about this concept called digital fracking, where a company will dump a product at a loss for their entire consumer base to gain advantage in some way. And so I'm trying to figure out why Apple is doing this. Are they doing this trying to squeeze out as much as they can for iTunes before Beats Music comes? I'm just trying to figure out what the strategy is for
right.
them. Because I haven't been able to pinpoint, like, what is the win-win for Apple? We get what the win-win is for YouTube.
YouTube, yeah.
But, like, why is Apple doing this?
Yeah, even as a market, they don't need much more noise around the release of the iPhone 6 and the Watch. They don't need much more attention drawn to them. That's why I like this whole thing. It's like, the iPhone 6 is coming out. And, oh, yeah, YouTube has a new album.
Exactly.
But and that's how it was treated. So we'll see. The other shoe will drop. The digital shoe will drop. Yeah. We'll see. It's something a little more fun. I'm very, very excited about this. Looks like Matt Damon.
Super excited.
Is back. Now, it's not official.
I think it is.
Really?
Because Matt called me this morning.
Oh, Matt, he's on the hotline. He called you on the hotline.
He called me on the new BlackBerry I got.
That's right. Yeah, Matt here. I mean, you just call me Jason. No, but, you know, so Paul Greengrass and Matt Damon really sort of swore that they wouldn't really not. They were like, this is our last Bourne movie. They were going to do the Bourne Ultimatum or something, the fourth Bourne movie, but they couldn't get the script right, so they would have made something else. And then they were like, you know, we're done with it. So, you know, obviously the Jeremy Renner character, they left the door open. You know, the Jeremy Renner character exists in the in the universe,
yeah.
You know, but he's his own separate character. But it looks like they're going to come back and make this other, which is their third movie, the fifth in the series.
Yeah. It'll be the fourth movie.
Will be there, but there, Paul Greengrass and Matt Damon
made three. The Collab, yeah. I got you.
The first one was made by, I can't remember who made Go and Swingers. Doug Liman. Doug Liman made the first one, and then they made the next two, and then obviously the fourth one was made by Tony Gilroy. Anyway, so this is exciting, but one thing, I feel bad, a little bit bad for Jeremy Renner, because what they're saying is they already have a release date for the new Bourne, the sequel to the Bourne Legacy.
Right. No, not Legacy.
Well, the sequel to the Bourne Legacy, yes, they had a release date for that.
I'm sure.
And then this may push that away, but so, you know, but at least he's not going away.
True. I mean, I think the lead up is to have them both share the screens somewhere down the line. So.
Right.
But I mean, my take on it, I love this franchise, billion-dollar franchise.
Yep.
Love Matt Damon in it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I missed him in the fourth one. I think he brings that energy to it that makes it just super dope. Like, it's one of my favorite like franchises.
Yeah, me too.
So
I love it. I love Damon. I love I remember when it first came out, and you know, when Matt Damon was a little more slight, he's a little guy. You know, now he's a little more bulky, but. Yeah. I'm like, we see like little 5 foot, you know, 7 skinny Matt Damon doing the moves. Yeah,
whooping ass.
So, But what I really love, the thing I love about the Bourne movies the best, or I love the crisis suites. I can't get enough of, like, the big board. I can't get enough of, like, you know, support staff, clear the room. Get this on the board. You know, get that. I love, man, every Bourne identity does that well.
They communicate it very well.
Man, Chris Cooper did it great in the first one. And the second one, you had Pam Landy, who was Joan Allen. Then you had my man Jason Strathern. I mean, you know, David Strathern. And in the fourth one, you had Ed Norton,
yeah,
who was super dope.
Yeah.
In fact, I love, he's like one of my favorite characters. Yeah, I hope they bring him back because he was great. Anyway, so that's it. We're all obviously excited about that.
For sure.
Something else to be somewhat excited about is the Hunger Games trailer came out, and we get a full look at Katniss in her full Katniss-ness.
I've already got a ticket.
Oh, you got your ticket already.
You guys didn't hear about that Best Buy deal that came out?
Oh, no. Tell me about it.
The Best Buy deal was if you come in when the first teaser trailer came out, and you watch it on the Samsung tablet that came out. I don't know I forgot what it's called.
I'm already falling asleep. Go ahead.
Exactly. If you go in to Best Buy, like right when it opens, and you watch it on the new Samsung tablet, and you have to watch the full teaser trailer, you get a poster, a Mockingjay pin, and a ticket to watch the movie.
Alexis, do you have your pin?
I don't have it on me, but it's
on my backpack.
you rocking it?
No, I have it on. I have it on my messenger bag, Batman messenger bag.
Cool. Cool. Well, I'm not gonna act like that. I'm not a huge super fan of the franchise, because I am. I did come late to the franchise. I didn't read the books. I came late to the franchise. I saw the second one first, and then I had to go.
What?
I know. I was out on the Hunger Games for some reason. I was like, yeah, whatever. Then I saw what's the second movie. Second book,
Catching Fire.
Yeah.
So is it Catching Fire? I saw Catching Fire first, and I thought it was spectacular.
It is.
Then I went back and saw the first one, which wasn't as good as the second one. So now I am all in, like freaked out over these last two of Mockingjay.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, I'm signed up. Like, I love this franchise too. I think she's a dope actress.
Also believable.
Very believable.
Believer in everything.
And I like the fact in this movie, you know, she's going to be a little bit more brolic, more aggressive.
Yep.
Like, the whole revolution is starting. Like, yeah. I love it. I love it.
How do you feel about them splitting it up just like The Hobbit?
I hate it.
Yeah, I hate that too.
It's just,
they're just trying to milk us.
Yeah, no, and I get the studios don't want. It's like they don't want
to rush it.
No, they don't want to end it. Like, you know,
that too.
They want to get as much money out of it as possible.
They know they have a finite amount of movies to make. Like, even with Harry Potter, we have 7 books. So when that 7th movie came up, they were sad. Like, damn, what can we do?
It's 2 over.
Movies.
Yeah, you know, J.K. Rowling's making another book.
Yes, she is.
And they're going to make a movie of that.
And that's going to be another franchise as well. That's what they're looking to do. Yeah. But we've seen this before, obviously, you know, with Twilight did it, you know, this did it. You
should not speak of that name.
Yeah, well, I'm not a big Twilight guy at all. Actually, I'm not Twilight. You love Twilight, though.
I do, man.
You unironically love Twilight.
You invited me over that one Sunday. It was like, Akili. Like, let's have a marathon.
I'm like, let's not watch football. Let's watch the Twilight. I've not seen one.
Wait, Akili. Yes. Team Edward or Team Jacob?
Why you gotta hit me with that?
Joe,
it's a trap.
It's a trap. The answer is I don't know.
No, I know. I have a girl who watches it. I can't deny it. Bro.
Okay, all right.
Team Jacob.
Good for you.
Team Jacob. Okay, right on.
Proud
okay.
Of you.
All right. Well, let's
move. I'm Team Blade.
All right. Let's move on to some video game stuff. You know, we're the PS4 and the Xbox, and we're a year into this experiment, and a year into this new generation of console. We've been talking about it in this room for a year. I mean, they're moving units.
They're moving units,
and guess what? I copped one. I got one. I got the Xbox One.
Okay.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't really spent much time with it because I've been super, super busy. So I got to hook it up and put it on the screen. I was like, oh, and that was really all I did. I haven't got a chance to play. I have Destiny. I got Destiny. I got Madden.
Wow.
And I got Titanfall, and I got Forza, which came with it.
I haven't played Titanfall yet. So.
I haven't even opened Madden or I haven't opened. I played Forza only, so I haven't even opened the other three yet. I got the big Destiny hardbound strategy guide book.
Nice.
So I'm gonna crack that, which I don't know when that's gonna happen. Even our next 2 weeks, we have, you know, going on.
You better bring it
with you. But I was able to, and I'm, you know, I know the game. I'll be like in the hotel room playing. I did it. I do what I always do, which I'm completely fine with. I took my Xbox 360. I took all my games. I took my 320 gig Saw hard it. Drive. I took the GameStop.
Man, nice. You could have took it to a Keeley stop.
No, because you don't have to pay like $600 for the thing. Like I got, after I was all said and done, $125.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, out like, the how door. Much was that?
$125. Wow.
$125 for the console and the games?
All the games.
And you had another controller? One controller?
No, one controller.
I said, that's huge, bro.
Yeah, so I mean, and I got the one with the Kinect, so it's the $600 joint, the $500 joint.
Wow. Have you played control yet?
What's that? Oh yeah, it works great. I have to calibrate it and set it all up, but it's dope already.
It makes me so lazy.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I come in, I'm like, Xbox, turn on.
Xbox, move over here. Xbox,
watch TV.
Watch Xbox, Netflix. Make me a sandwich. Xbox, tell Siri I said,
shut up.
No, but yeah, it's dope. I'm very excited about it. I can't wait to really get into it. But yeah, I'm sorry, Keeley, but there was no chance I was ever going to spend $500 or $600 on this whole thing. It was never going to happen.
For sure.
So when I talked to myself, I'm like, well, $150, and plus I had a $150 credit on my car. So it really cost me like
$1.
Yeah, I had like $100. So it cost me, like, the whole operation cost me like $50.
Wow, that's huge, man.
That's not
bad. Yeah. So,
sad to say, though, you know, Xbox is not winning the console war store.
Well,
console wars, though.
PS4 is really
PS4 doing is pretty right. amazing.
Yeah. You have them both, Alexis?
Yes.
Of course you do.
You have them both?
Yeah, Alexis is like not messing around.
I live on my own, and then I have my family's house. So I have a PS4 there, and then there's an Xbox One at my parents' house.
Right.
And we have a PS3 in both.
And then what do you have in the car?
I have an Oculus Rift. So
okay, I got it. Like you're driving around. Okay, cool. Okay, well, so we'll see. I mean, so PS4, enough about me. PS4 is winning this console war, but they're both, you know, making waves, you know. Xbox Lordy. Which one, when you do make that jump, which one are you going to do?
Unfortunately, I'm a geek, I'm a nerd, I'm a tech, but I don't think I'll be able to purchase either one.
Oh, no.
Because I know my personality, and I will be so distracted from being a productive person in life.
Yeah. Well, this is my worry. That's why I only got three games, but all three of these games are deep dives.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know,
you got to invest the time.
Destiny, the book is this thick. And it's like planets and worlds to me. I'm like, you already play Alexis,
you're gonna
right?
love it. You're gonna love it. It's literally just the best thing ever. I can't even put it into words.
When will I have the time? All right.
My thing is, man. Well, whatever.
Just a couple hours.
If I'm gonna take a week to play video games, I could take a week to go to Jamaica or something.
All right.
You guys go play Destiny. Run along.
You are an old man. Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn, Akilisha. Look at you. All right.
Run along, Joe. Destiny.
God. All right. So anyway, Grand Theft Auto is coming back, which is a game I did. Which was the last game I played on my old, you know, now RIP 360.
So you let that go too.
I had to go too. I mean, I'm getting all next gen stuff. What am I holding on to it for?
True.
I played the heck out of this game. I'm on record for loving this game. And, but there's a remastered version is coming out for the next gen, and they've got, you know, denser traffic and more stuff and more missions. So, I probably wouldn't, I'm probably getting that too somehow.
Yeah, it's dope.
But
the upgrades seem really fresh. Like you said, you know, more weapons, you know, more characters, more. Yeah. More places to explore, more means of transportation. That's
right.
It's like really dope upgrade.
Right, and the world is already like huge.
Right,
it's already
right.
You can do so much. So it'd be cool to see what they add to this world.
For sure.
So, get another reason I will never leave that. I need like a month. Just
that's what I'm saying.
Just black out the whole house.
Man,
grow a beard.
Shannon just living
for a month. Gain like 30 pounds. Okay, and then last but not least. Doctor Strange is finally set to come to the theaters, and your boy Joaquin Phoenix is not official yet, but he's been sort of like,
I don't want to see this
in talks. You don't want to see this at all.
I don't want to see him play this.
I don't want to see him play it either.
Oh wow!
I want to see the movie for sure, okay. But I don't think he'd be good.
I don't like it.
Wow! I think he's perfect.
Why?
Because he's got the mustache.
Nah, man. No. I don't see it, man.
No.
I don't believe him. I don't believe him.
Oh, half really?
The time. Nah.
Oh, really? You're out on him as an actor?
Not out on him.
Okay.
But like, I can't see him playing something like this.
Right.
I don't see it.
You don't see like the way because he's been so quirky lately,
yes.
And so I mean, and so intense.
Yeah.
With the master and you know and her and you know he's been very intense in his documentary, but. You know, I mean, and he was very intense in Gladiator and all, but he can, you know, he can be light.
No, he has acting chops by no means. I'm not saying he doesn't have that, but with this role, this space, like comic book space, I just don't.
We'll see.
It's not resonating with me.
Well, the bigger thing for me is I'm just wondering how the Marvel Universe is ever expanding, and I'm really them sort of reaching out into when they go into this phase three and reaching out to these outer characters like a Doctor Strange movie. I mean, Doctor Strange is a very popular character, mm-hmm. but he ain't no Wolverine
for sure.
He ain't no Iron Man, so he ain't no Hulk. So
he could generate $1 billion.
Well, he could if the movie's good and if the actor's will be good.
Doctor Strange has a good amount of fan base.
Sure.
So I don't know.
And they're doing Vision. Paul Bettany's going to be Vision, and they're doing some other stuff as well. So I mean, it's just interesting to see what these other characters do, and I guess the proof of concept is Guardians of the Galaxy. What's more unknown than that group of characters, raccoons and trees, and
that's smashed.
So, well, I gotta say, I will have faith in Marvel until further notice, but I'm a little wonky on this. Really quick, anything you're geeking out on, Keely, before we get out of here?
Man, I'm geeking out on the new Denzel movie. I'm really amped to see that.
The Equalizer.
Yes.
With my man Fuqua, Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
Are you signed up on that?
I am signed up on that. I'm a big Fuqua guy.
Cool.
He hasn't done a movie that I haven't liked yet, except for Brooklyn's Finest, though. I don't know. That was pretty good, too.
That was solid. Yeah. And I'm on my Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, yeah. I don't watch that.
Oh, you tripping, man.
I don't watch it.
You're tripping.
I know. In fact, I don't watch TV at all. I'm still on Naked and Afraid. I'm really geeking out on ABC's false on a couple of ABC's fall schedule, a couple of shows in particular. I'm really excited. I've got the ABC. They send me pilots to look at and stuff. Only me exclusively. No one else. Just me. But I did get a chance to check out the Blackish pilot, which I think was really, really good and really funny and really doing the right things with Anthony Anderson and Tracy Ross and Lawrence Fishburne. Mm-hmm. And I really, really love the How to Get Away with Murder, the Shonda Rhimes.
I'm so excited for that TV show.
That's really good. That pilot's good, too. Yeah. So I'm really excited about that stuff. I'm really excited about fall TV right now. So that's about mm-hmm. it. Alexis, what are you liking?
Two things. One's like really old and one's kind of not out yet. I'm nerding out about the Deadpool movie coming out.
Oh.
That's coming out in 2016, I believe. That's just because I love that character. I've read all the comic books. The number one
character I saw at Comic-Con. Everyone was dressed as Deadpool.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't understand.
You should, I mean, I'm not saying to like get into it, but I mean, if you read his stuff, it's just because he's the character that kind of makes fun of being a superhero. Okay. And just the fact that when that clip came out, that was leaked, it took the essence of Deadpool.
Is it still going to be Ryan Reynolds?
Yes.
Oh, so he's coming back?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. He's
pretty much going to revamp that weird X-Men Origins Deadpool.
That was a horrible...
Or Wolverine. The Wolverine.
That was a horrible movie and a horrible Deadpool.
Yeah, so they're redoing
that. He died in that, too. Didn't he die?
Technically, yeah. That's why they're like, we're just going to forget that and...
Okay, pretend it never happened.
Yeah, it never happened, and we're bringing out the movie.
All right, cool.
Yeah, and then the second one is there's this TV show that I missed, but I've been watching it on Netflix. It's called The Colony.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I've been really watching that religiously.
Cool. All right, I'll check that out. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us for this week. Akili, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. And where can we find you, Brett?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. It's Joe K. Braswell. Alexis, where can we find you? Somewhere?
You can find me in the booth, actually, all the time. You can find me on any social media on atorres890. That's atorres890.
Cool. Well, that's it. Well, we'll see you next week at Geek Nerd Tech.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.